American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. I so appreciate you. You're treasured, valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy day after Sunday, day before Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
You're so kind. And obviously, you're pretty fired up today. I normally know where to set your microphone, and you're so far off the chart, I had to pull it down.
Oh, so in that case, I better quit talking so quickly. Huh?
I can make the adjustment. You just keep right on trucking.
Okay. It is a Brad Beck Monday. In studio with me is my friend Brad Beck. It's great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be alive and be in Colorado, Kim. Good to see you.
It is. And it's supposed to hit 72 degrees today.
Can you believe this weather?
And can you believe it?
Yeah. It is beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
One of the reasons we live in Colorado.
It is. It's unpredictable. I said Colorado is the place where you can wear your swimsuit and your snow boots on the same day.
You're going to make me tell a story from 1978.
Okay, let's hear it.
I, you know, in the Air Force, I just got assigned to Peterson Air Force Base in NORAD. Sitting on the dorm steps one day in November, not having been here before, say, what is it with this place? It was the most awesome Indian summer, day after day, 75, you know, and it's like, what is this? And the week of Thanksgiving, we got nailed.
I know it. So just, it is Colorado, but beautiful day, great day to be alive. And it's always wonderful to have my friend in here. Mm. And you've written a very interesting piece, and we rolled it out this weekend. Somnambulant, right?
Yeah.
And somnambulant no more. And tell us, what is somnambulant?
Well, you know, when I was in school, back in the junior high, we called it, instead of middle school, we had an English teacher who always gave us a word of the day, kind of like Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. And I remember that word because it just stuck in my head. And I always remembered using it. And when I got a chance to use it, I felt like, wow, that's a big word that I can
actually... It is a great word, yeah.
And it's French for just walking, sleepwalking almost, being awake but not aware.
Uh-huh.
And so that word just kind of crystallized what was happening in our country right now. And I thought, you know what? Let's use that word for a title.
Well, it's a great op-ed. We did roll that out this weekend, so it is on my website as well. And Zach and I talked about the visual. He's so good with visuals, and I love what he came up with. And it is people leaving a meeting, and you can see that they're going out to do something. We thought that was very appropriate for your op-ed.
And a lot of them were out of focus, so that kind of had a little bit of visual as well. Where are we? Where are we going? What's happening? Are we in a moment of American apartheid? It's an interesting time.
It is an interesting time. We'll continue with that conversation in the third and fourth segment. Check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you'll get first look at all of our op-eds, our most recent guests that will be coming up. So be sure and sign up there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. That's MONSON.com. And thank you to all of you who contribute. And also thank you to all of you who are sponsors. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor on the show, I know my sponsors are getting great results. In fact, Liberty Toastmasters is a great sponsor, and people are showing up. That's great.
We're honored to sponsor this program because it's really about having a voice and having the opportunity to get a message out.
And this Wednesday is Liberty Toastmasters Day on the show.
Can't wait.
And we'll be doing our table topics. And typically with table topics, it's very impromptu, although we do give a couple of different suggestions on subject matter. But they may talk about something else. It's Liberty Toastmasters. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, Dave Walden in our North Club called me out for saying a big word again, like somnambulant. I said, speaking extemporaneously, which is speaking off the cuff for table topics. And he said, I love it when you talk dirty. Shout out to Dave Walden.
Okay, you're going to love the quote for the day then, because I went to Alexander Hamilton, and Hamilton and Jefferson, I mean, they were really big part of the whole founding, and they looked at things differently. And Brad, when we talk about here in America now, reaching across the aisle or collaborating, we have reached across the aisle and collaborated away our freedom. We've reached across the aisle and collaborated away our kids' future. This big spending bill that it looks like is going to be signed today, it was 13 Republicans, but also 13 Republicans over here in the Senate that also acquiesced on this. And over in the Senate, it was leadership. It was McConnell, Grassley, Graham. They're the ones that put it over the top.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, when you are in business, you always have a win-win. You share value for value or trade value for value. Otherwise, you don't do the deal. And I question, what are they getting out of this? What are we as the American people? They're the people that employ these folks, what are they getting? What are we getting out of it as citizens? And I think we're getting the bill.
We're getting the bill.
Anything else.
We're getting the bill on this. And so going back to Jefferson and Hamilton, Jefferson was very concerned about an overreaching government. My understanding, Alexander thought, though, that the federal government needed to have enough power to have some teeth in it, but he felt that the Constitution would keep it within its boundaries. Is that your understanding of it?
Yeah, well, and Jefferson believed in more of an agrarian society, and Hamilton wanted more of a metropolitan or a cosmopolitan society. And so I think that was part of their looking at the world view, as where Hamilton was more of a English person, a person who believed in the English culture, and Jefferson was more of a Francophile and looked at the world differently. But they both came together in this idea of America. And America is fundamentally an idea. And they went back and forth and fought like heck, like we should too today. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture was, what are we going to have? A union? Are we going to have a democracy? Are we going to have a republic? And these great ideas went back and forth, and they settled on a republic. Mm-hmm. And when people always are talking about we live in a democracy, I always smile and say, actually, we live in a constitutional republic. We have democratic institutions, but we live in a republic. And we need to be talking about that more and more. It's important to understand that we have federalism.
And federalism is basically that the federal government is smaller, and you go to the 10th Amendment, and it says the powers not delegated to the federal government goes to the states and the people.
Right.
We need to remember that.
Yeah. Local control is important. Although today, a lot of people who are leftists will use that against you, and you've experienced that when you
Absolutely.
Were in city council.
Absolutely. And when we talk about local control, what they are doing is they're trying to take, if they can't get it done at the federal level or the state level, then they come around and backdoor it through the local level. But the most local government is the individual.
Exactly.
And that's where we start.
When you have two people standing together and both want to control each other's lives, usually it's the person who has power wants to control both lives, and the independent or the person who is individually thinking wants to control their own life.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, let's go to this. And there's a big word in here. Dave Walden's going to like this as well. Okay. And this is Alexander Hamilton. This is the other thing. I guess a lot of people have probably seen the play Hamilton, which I've not. But he grew up really poor. He's not even, I don't think he's even sure who his dad was, right?
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
The great book by Ron Chernow is brilliant.
Yeah. And so you think about this, but he was, people saw that he had a real talent. And so they worked to help him get an education, which is what is, you know, on a grand scale, what we thought we were doing here in the public education system here in America, not so much now. But anyway, you look at this, here's this kid that was poor as anything, and he rises to the top of this new little country. But the way he writes is absolutely amazing. So he was a Caribbean-born American statesman, politician, legal scholar, military commander, lawyer, banker, and economist. He was one of the founding fathers of the United States. He was an influential interpreter and promoter of the U.S. He was born either in 1755 or 1757, and he died in 1804. And this is what he said: "Of those men who have overturned the liberties of republics, the greatest number have begun their career by paying an obsequious court to the people, commencing demagogues and ending tyrants." And obsequious says full or exhibiting servile compliance or fawning. Boy, I've seen fawning of elected representatives to the people. And then I've seen them also treat the people with disrespect.
Absolutely. And Hamilton was brilliant. He had an intelligence that, you know, when he wrote and when he saw what was happening where he grew up in, I believe, St. Nevis in the Caribbean, and he saw what was going on with the slave trade, and he just thought it was miserable. He thought it was terrible to see how people were treating other people. And when he came to what was later New York and King's College and went to school there, which became Columbia, he really fought for individual rights. But he also looked around when he got older, and he served under Washington as a assistant.
He wasn't the Secretary of Commerce, was he?
No. But he was Washington's second in charge.
Okay.
And he, you know, put out orders and so forth for Washington. He was very loyal to Washington, but he observed a lot what was happening. And the point being that he hated tyranny. He hated people being over others. And that, I think, carried through with his perspective in the government.
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably talk a little bit about that in the third and fourth segment, I think, Brad Beck. With that, it's just rather remarkable what is happening right now. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we will be talking with Ben Murray. He is the fiscal policy analyst at the Independence Institute. And he's written an important piece, Unequal Opportunities, Unequal Outcomes, the COVID-19 Recession in Colorado. So we'll talk with him in the second segment. Before we do that, I mentioned Liberty Toastmasters is a great sponsor of the show. Castlegate Knife and Tool is also a great sponsor of both the shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. We're coming into Hanukkah, Christmas time. It's time to. When does Hanukkah start?
The 28th, I believe.
Of November?
Yes.
Okay, right around the same time as Advent.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes they don't match it up quite exactly, right?
The Jewish calendar is on lunar as opposed to solar.
Aha, uh-huh. There you go.
That always starts the night before.
Okay. And so getting it's time to think about your shopping. Hal and Linnea Van Herkey have a lot of inventory. It's there. You can actually put a gift under the tree. And so be sure and check that out, whether or not you're buying for a chef. And when we had Hal in recently, he said that they're also doing some of these great cutting boards from Colorado that are made from different woods. I mean, what a great gift. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back. Brad Beck's in studio, and we'll be talking with Ben Murray.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. Greatly appreciate you. In studio with me is Brad Beck. We'll be talking about his op-ed that we rolled out this weekend, Somnambulant No More. And so that will be a great conversation in the third and fourth segment, Brad.
I'm looking forward to it.
But on the line with us is Ben Murray. He is the fiscal policy analyst at the Independence Institute. He's written a very important piece, Unequal Opportunities, Unequal Outcomes, the COVID-19 Recession in Colorado. He published it on November 1st. Ben Murray, welcome to the show.
Ben, thanks for having me.
This is a really important analysis that you did, Ben. What would you say are the key findings?
Well, first I want to clarify that our center, the Fiscal Policy Center, of which I'm the director, we published it, but actually one of our PhD economists, a senior fellow, Paul Prentice, did the study. And what he found is, biggest takeaway is that looking at the mandates and the lockdowns that were instituted in response to COVID-19 here in Colorado, we found that small businesses, minorities, and low earners were hit disproportionately by those mandates.
Well, I know this is an important analysis. I want to say to these policy people, though, Ben, it doesn't take a rocket scientist if you have government come in and say that some businesses are essential, like the little guys, and the big guys are essential. There's going to be a problem, right, Ben?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I think, look, when we set out to do this study, it wasn't entirely clear yet, late last summer when we decided to do this. But I think between then and now, people have come to realize that this is true, just sort of inherently. They know it. But I think it's really important to have this data, to show people hard data, hard facts, that look what's happened. Look what our government has done by overreacting, by their policy response. And a couple of things I think are really important to note. The study says, look, we're not making a moral judgment here. I'm sort of paraphrasing. We're not making a moral judgment here about what should have been done, and hindsight's 20/20. But here's what we know. You know, we know from the data that states that were more or less stringent on their lockdowns had no statistically significant bearing on their mortality rate from COVID. Okay, I think that's
really okay.
That's right. That's what the data actually shows us. So there's no statistically significant correlation between mortality rate and how strict the state, different states' lockdowns were. And then number two is, okay, so we made really no statistically significant difference on the on mortality outcomes, on health outcomes, let's say, in terms of mortality, but the number of small businesses in Colorado from before the pandemic to this summer when we concluded the study was about 43% decline in small businesses. Now, during that same time period, if you look at the Fortune 500 companies in Colorado, the average valuation or stock price of those Fortune 500 companies rose by 61.4%.
Wow.
So not only did our small businesses take an enormous hit. I mean, go out to little towns across Colorado. Like go out to little towns in Weld County, like LaSalle, or all the businesses in town are just shut down, right? And then you look and the valuations of our Fortune 500 companies have increased by over 60%.
And this was because government picked winners and losers, right, Ben?
I mean, I think that's what we see from the data. Here's a good anecdotal evidence of this that I think a lot of people will relate to. So if you're a small boutique in downtown, whatever town you live in, and they sell clothes, and that's all they do is they sell women's clothes or whatever. Well, the governor's lockdown edicts said, well, that business is non-essential. You're non-essential because you just sell clothing. You're just trying to help, provide for your family. So you're non-essential. But if you're a big box store, if you're Target or Walmart, well, you sell groceries, so you're essential. Oh, but you can also sell your women's clothing because you happen to be open anyways because you're essential. So now if I'm a shopper and I want to go buy some clothing, well, I might have gone to my little women's boutique up the road, mom and pop shop, But I'm not allowed to do that now. They were mandated to close, facing fines of $15,000 a day. So now I have to go to Walmart if I want to go buy clothing, because they were deemed essential.
It's rather remarkable, and I have to tell you, Ben, when there's been different businesses. In fact, yesterday I went to a couple of different businesses to pick something up for takeout, and I got there and it was dark. And being a small business person, being an entrepreneur, I get this knot in my stomach when I see these small businesses that have been closed. And again, because of government and taking away personalities, you look at pre-COVID under the Trump administration, and the economy was booming. Little businesses were booming. Black home ownership was up 6 points. Unemployment in the Black, Hispanic, with women, all those were at close to record lows, if not record lows. And then I go over and I drive up and down Yosemite, and I see, and also some of them are chains, but I see restaurant after restaurant closed, and it just puts a knot in my stomach. Brad, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, what's amazing is that, you know, government gets to make these decisions, and as the data shows, as Ben says, it shows the facts, and yet our elected officials choose to ignore the facts. And when they start making edicts about who is essential, everybody's essential, in my book. And so these businesses take risk. And I know the Independence Institute does great work giving an alternate opinion and using the fact-based ideas that they come up with.
Mm-hmm. Ben, this is such important information. What's another one of the key findings that you want to highlight?
You know, I'm glad you brought up sort of the impact on minorities and that sort of thing. But the largest minority group in Colorado are Hispanics. One thing that the study found is it did a industry by industry breakdown and analysis, and what it found is that the industry hit hardest. I think you know this is leisure and hospitality. Well, it turns out that Hispanics work more in that industry proportionally than any other industry compared to other groups in Colorado. So the industry hit by far the hardest in Colorado is also the industry that is employing, or was employing, our largest minority group in Colorado. So we know that minorities, at least at the industry level, we can see that minorities were hit hard by this. So then we look at income levels, right? And you see that the percentage of Coloradans with a household income under $75,000, the study found, who were working, dropped to less than 50% in this spring of 2020 when you
lockdown came into effect. But government came in to give them money then. So they shut down their businesses, and then they come in to give them money, right?
Yeah, you know what? But that money dried up, and their businesses aren't necessarily back. And here we're talking about Coloradans with household incomes under $75,000, right? So if you look at them, they dropped to less than 50% working. But here's what gets me. The study found that those making over $75,000 a year, they remain steady in terms of employment.
Wow.
Right? So your accountants and your lawyers and you know, your more white-collar people and sort of a little higher middle class, they were fine. They pretty much kind of stayed steady. They worked from home. But, you know, your person out there working at the hotel or your person out there working somehow in leisure and hospitality or restaurants making household income under $75,000, they're the ones who got hit, is what the data shows us.
Wow. So we a couple of these takeaways is the number of small businesses in Colorado declined by over 40%. Those that were hit the hardest was those in the leisure and hospitality industry. And that's that typically Hispanics work in that particular business. So it really hurt them. Government came in to, quote unquote, give money. But what the government giveth, the government can taketh away. So you said that money dried up. Ben, we've got about a minute left here. How would you like to button this up, and how can people find this study that you've done?
Well, you can find the study on i2i.org/fiscal, or you can go to issue, you can click on fiscal. And I think a good way to wrap this up is beware politicians who caused this pain stepping in and wanting to be the hero now. And that's what we're already seeing. If you look at Polis's budget that he just put out a couple of weeks ago for this coming year, He has all this money to help bail out small businesses. For example, he earmarked about $100 million to reduce fees, okay, to make it easier on businesses and individuals following this pandemic. Then he said, so I'll give you a good example. So a bunch of businesses have gone under because of these lockdowns. Well, Polis has been so generous as to include in his budget a waiver of fees to start a new business. So if your business got shut down and you went under because of Polis's lockdown, Governor Polis is so generous, he said, you're allowed to go start your business back up and I'll waive the fee.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? So that's what politicians do. They cause problems and they jump in and they want to be the heroes and solve it. And we need to call them out and say, no, you caused this problem and you don't get to be the hero by spending my money to fix the problem you caused.
Wow, a very important takeaway. And again, Ben Murray, thank you so much. This is really important information. And again, that is i2i.org/fiscal. Is that right? That's where people can find this study?
That's right.
Okay, i2i.org/fiscal. Great. And I know, Ben, we've got you scheduled for sometime in December. We're going to talk about this budget. You've been going in and really taking a look at that as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I look forward to talking more about that and some other key issues in December.
As fast as time's going, Ben, December is tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. And on the line with us is Marlon Kirsch, and a great partner, new partner of both of the shows. And Kirsch Insurance Group are specialists in the Medicare arena. And I tell you what, if you ever need somebody on your side of the table, it's in Medicare. Marlon Kirsch, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you very much. It's good to talk to you today.
Well, Marlon, I think we agree, and Steve, producer Steve, also, it's goofy what government does, but the federal government says that if you want to make changes to your Medicare plan, you have to do it between October 15th and December 7th of the previous year. And so people may get to 2022 thinking what they had is what they have in the future. That's not the case, right, Marlon?
Oh, that is so true. And it is just really frustrating, you know, that the situation is set up like it is, because if you just look at it, in a probably a 7-week time, there's 62 million people who are on Medicare have to review what their plan is to be sure that they have the same coverage for the next year. So, and as you and I know, that probably doesn't happen with many, many people. I know that for sure.
Well, I'm sure, and I've been thinking a lot about it this week, Marlon, because Medicare, it's 65 and older. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And everybody has probably somebody in their life that is 65 and older. So people may say, oh, I'm not on Medicare, but you may know somebody. And that is why it's important to recommend for people to do a complimentary analysis with you. And just think about this. You don't work with just one company. You work with most of the carriers here in Colorado. And you have this proprietary software where you can actually run people's prescriptions and know what's going on in the future. And I know there's all kinds of advertisements out there right now, but you guys have a pretty cool niche, Marlon.
Yes, we do have software that that reviews what the prescription drug plans and what the advantage plans will be for the following year for the prescription drugs. And the issue, and I think, you know, I've mentioned this before, it's not so much that people's drugs necessarily change as much as these companies change. And you know, we just see some huge, huge differences when people look at the drugs for next year versus what they were paying last year, just because it might not be on the formulary. And so to me, that's a big issue for many, many seniors.
Well, and you said last week you were able to save somebody $2,000 for next year.
Listen, that is really so common, Kim, I'm telling
you. Wow.
It's, and we've seen situations even more than that. But, you know, if people are taking 2-3 really expensive medications and all of a sudden next year it's not on the formulary, you know, then they're going to wind up paying for the drugs. And really, my experience is that the central offices of Medicare services, I mean, they're really difficult to work with. That if you miss the time frame, I mean, there's just no place to go to get those medications unless you're, you know, writing the check.
Okay. And again, this does not cost anybody anything to sit down with you and your team over there, Marlon. And people can get your information at your website, which is iKirsch, iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. Marlon, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, Kim. Nice talking to you.
Take okay. Care. Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I cannot wait to continue the conversation with Brad Beck on Somnambulant No More. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest silent thief that is government-induced inflation. And wanted to just, we're going to be talking with Brad Beck here. He's written a really important piece, Somnambulant No More. And Somnambulant is walking around in our sleep. And Brad Beck, this is a really important piece because they talk about people being woke, but I really think that we are getting to a great awakening here.
I agree. And people are starting to really see what's happened to them personally with their families and their kids, and they're finally taking action, which is huge.
It is huge. People are showing up at school board meetings, at city council meetings, and it's exciting, isn't it?
It really is. My whole premise, though, for this piece was, will they stay engaged, especially after their children leave school age and they go off to college or trade school or whatever they're going to do? And I think it's important as we go forward to encourage people to stay in the game.
It is very important to stay in the game. I just realized I had stepped back from, I'd served on City Council of Lone Tree for 2012 to 2016, and I really stepped back from that. And then when we saw that they were proposing this huge tax increase, thought, oh, because Vladimir Lenin said that the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And so Georgia Allen and I went to work and worked to try to defeat this. And it did pass 57.25% to, what, 42.75. But as I've been starting to do some research, I reached out to the city clerk and said, you know what, it's time for me to get reengaged. And part of it is like, oh, this is going to take so much time. But what is so interesting is, as I was looking at this, is people haven't been paying attention because in Lone Tree there's been plenty of money. And so basically, if you get your streets plowed, your trash picked up, and have a 4th of July celebration here or there, people don't pay attention. But as I was going through the budget, I'm realizing they didn't tell the truth on what they were saying to the people, and I think I need to start to pay attention.
Well, we're all stakeholders. We're taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And the school districts are all funded by us. So if it's our money that helps keep these institutions running, then we should take an active interest in how our investment is doing, just like your 401k or your savings.
Good point.
And so it's important that we as parents, grandparents, or just a community member should know what is happening in our local schools. I've been fortunate in that I've been active in the Optimist Club of Erie, Colorado. Great group of people, mm-hmm. lots of instructors, a lot of teachers, and I always get to hear what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent. And teachers have a hard job. You know, they're teaching kids that, you know, from kindergarten on up mm-hmm. that have, you know, active bodies. And for the last year and a half, these kids have been doing things virtually, which, you know, some teachers really did well. They got the technology, but a lot of kids miss the interaction. They miss the opportunity to get up and run around. And parents are frustrated, of course. And finally, I think you saw the breaking point in Loudoun County in Virginia, where parents who showed up were deemed a certain type of individual simply because they were speaking and protecting their kids' rights. And we here in Colorado have the same thing. I worked with a group of people who were trying to get a charter school in Boulder County. And 700 parents showed up. Kids wanted to learn in a certain way, a classical education, to learn reading and writing and arithmetic, mm-hmm. and not all the other things that are being happening today with critical race theory or gender studies. We need kids to understand cursive and American history and find that Jefferson's great document of the Declaration of Independence, even with all the things that people talk about, that he had slaves and so forth, and he could have put more money and invested it in people's manumission, freedom at the time, because there was laws you just couldn't release individuals that he inherited from his family. And yet Jefferson wrote this document about the American idea that is inherent in all human beings to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most incredible document because it talks about the rights of the individual. Never in the history of humankind had that ever happened. Well, kids aren't learning that. That's fundamental. It's foundational to what America is. Our idea of citizenship, our friend Tom Cranwitter talks about citizenship as self-reliance and to be self-assertive and to have civic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are basic ideas that people need to know about. And yet, if you ask the average school-age children, let alone their parents, they have no idea.
So we're talking about public education here. And the founders felt that educating our children was very important. And it seemed to make sense to come together as a community and tax ourselves and elect a board to watch over this, to be stewards of what we're saying, to educate our children. We want to set them up for success. And if you look at education, and I've mentioned it many times, if you actually will do a web search for the, I think it's the eighth grade exam, 1895 in Saline, Kansas. My gosh, when people had eighth grade educations back then, going through civic knowledge, math, reading, all those kinds of things. And we now have seen a real dumbing down of our children. And when you mentioned the good basic things so that kids can be successes, to critical thinking, to understand history, reading, writing, math, civic knowledge, there's only a certain amount of school hours in the day. And if you're not focusing on those things, but are focusing on, are you a boy, are you a girl? I mean, the founders would have gone, what? What? But part of that may be because our society has been so successful.
Could be, yeah. And this idea of education was so important to the founders. To me, the third most important document after the Declaration and the Constitution is the Northwest Ordinance. And if you read that, they sectioned off square miles within a county that were dedicated to land for schools. In every county in the Northwest Ordinance, which was Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, those areas, which was the western part of the mm-hmm. expansion, it was so critical because if the founders knew if they could have the opportunity to have their citizens to read and write and understand and really think about the things that were essential for their lives, then a well-educated populace would continue to be free. They would keep this republic going. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think we have done so often here in this country is just let somebody else take it, because mm-hmm. we've been so busy doing whatever we do in our daily mm-hmm. lives. We've got to get involved. Education is too important to be left to the left. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about liberals. I'm talking about leftists who have an agenda to fundamentally change the way our education system has been for the last 200 years. Mm-hmm. And it has, ever since the progressive era, incrementally changed people like Dewey, who really brought a whole different mindset and really worked to have an education system different than what the founders thought about, with the basics and the foundational mm-hmm. ideas of reading, writing, arithmetic, learning Latin. I mean, at 13, 14 in America for the first 100 years, if you went to school, you learned Latin and you learned Greek and you learned Hebrew. And those were the foundational ideas of words and concepts. And today we have, if you go to maybe a Catholic school, you might get Latin if you're lucky, or if an upper division.
Mm-hmm. Brad, don't you think that, of course, we were talking with Ben Murray in the second segment about the economic devastation to small businesses, the economic devastation to people making less than $75,000 a year, and that it is devastating. But there has been a positive, and that is parents with kids learning online. I've heard stories of moms walking by and going, what? It's like, wait a minute, you're going to bring your computer in here and we're going to take a look at what's happening. And then the next thing you see is people showing up at school board meetings. And so there is a positive through this whole COVID thing as well.
Well, the visuals, you look at what people have behind them. You know, now you have green screens and so forth. Well, mm-hmm. if you look at what a lot of people had behind them or what they were wearing virtually, it shocked you. I mean, I heard story after story, just like you did, of people having certain types of flags and certain slogans in the background while they're teaching these young impressionable children. Mm-hmm. Is that proper? Or should it just be focused on the teacher and the information? Mm-hmm. And it was an eye-opening experience for a lot of people. A lot of my friends who had younger kids really were shocked at what they were seeing, what they were hearing. And it's hard to keep kids' attention. I mean, a little box, a little square computer is not going to hold a young person, especially if they're special needs children.
I know.
I mean, John Caldera's son, mm-hmm. who has special needs, you know, he lost a year, year and a half of education. Amortize that over all these hundreds of kids in these programs. They need the one-on-one, and they need the experience also of working with others around them. And we just let that all go. And it's a shame. It really is, because all this money, they keep throwing more money after more money after more money. It's not that complicated.
But where is all that money going?
It's going to administration. It's going to all these programs that really don't matter. Right. When you go to school to learn, you should have the basics down. When my wife was working at a well-known department store, there was a young lady who had to write tickets up for clothing as they were doing alterations. She couldn't write cursive. And this was a young woman just out of college. Amazing that somebody does not know how to write anymore because they weren't taught.
And somebody had said to me, if our kids can't read and write cursive, they can't understand if their grandparents send them a letter, or they might not be able to understand the beautiful writing of our documents.
Right.
But they don't know cursive, but they can question all these different genders. Come on. We got to make a change here. And people are waking up. They're somnambulant no more. I'm going to get that down. I love, you know, we probably should have word of the day. In studio with me is Brad Beck. And he is one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters, which is also a great sponsor of the show. It'll be Liberty Toastmasters Day on Wednesday. But let's continue the conversation, Brad. Before we do that, though, we need to go to break. And another one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, and that is Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they do have football specials. It's Monday, so it is football day, and they have specials for whether or not dine-in or to go, or if you want to have friends over. They've got a whole party pack. You can get 50 wings, the original, naked, or boneless, and the smoked wings are super great. And they have also appetizers and all kinds of things that can accompany that. So if you're having friends over, let Hooters do the cooking. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Brad, we want to get to some of these solutions. I realize we didn't have the opportunity to talk about this particular headline, and that's one of the reasons why we need to be active and understanding what's going on. Austria, apparently, is just days away from unleashing lockdown on the quote-unquote shameful unvaccinated. Now, let's think about this. If people have had COVID, they should have antibodies. So this is really tyrannical of what is occurring. And you can see this actually because I went on Lone Tree's website to figure out when they're having meetings, because I want to get re-engaged. And it says there that if you are unvaccinated, you should wear a mask. And I'm thinking, just think if you could put in another word. If you are Black, you should wear a mask. If you are Hispanic, you should wear a mask. If you're Jewish, you should wear a mask. If you're gay, you should wear a mask. How did we get to this point?
It's amazing. And it goes back to your idea of PBIs, when you have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, and there's power involved. And I believe there's an American apartheid happening. They're separating off the vaccinated and unvaccinated. First of all, it's nobody's business whether I am or am not. I've always had vaccinations for everything in life, and they've been good. There are people who have chosen not to be vaccinated for whatever reason. It's their choice. And now if you want to go to a concert, you have to show your passport.
Your papers.
Your papers. Isn't that interesting? 35, 36, 37. You know, it's starting to feel like that. Now, is it going down that path? I hope not. But I can't go to a concert because if I choose not to show my papers, I can't get in. And once I get in, from what I hear from people who have been to concerts or to sporting events, as soon as they walk in, they take off the mask anyways. So who are we kidding?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole thing is for show. It's amazing to me that people are going along with it. And in Austria, like in Australia, they are locking down the society. And those who are compliant get to live a life.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
that aren't, don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that sound like South Africa?
It does.
Is that what it used to be?
I was recently going to an event and was asked to sign something. And it said that here's the state of Colorado recommendations. And then it went on to say that if you were unvaccinated, you would do this, this, or this. And then at the end it says, and I will be compliant with all this. And I said, you know what? I can't sign this. We're going to have a conversation. And we did. We had a conversation. We got it to a point where it was something that I could sign. But when I saw the word compliant, I'm like, Katie barred the door. We have to have a conversation.
Right, exactly.
So let's go over here to your piece, Somnambulant No More. people are waking up, and you always have solutions. Instead of, sometimes I just get a little, and just talk about the problem. What are the solutions?
They're varied, and I think it can be as simple as joining a service organization and getting involved in what they do with the local schools, like the Optimist Club. We are known as the Friend of Youth, and we do a lot of programs and scholarships for our local kids in our community. And we have a big race we just had called the Erie Erie, and all the money that we raised goes right back in the
community.
Is
that at Halloween or something?
It is.
The Erie Erie.
And we go around the old cemetery, and it's a lot of fun. People dress up. But the funds go back to the community, to the kids, for all these auxiliary programs that we provide. And we're role models. We're part of the fabric of the community. And I think people have to think about that idea. You know, there was a book many years ago called Bowling Alone, about how people are no longer engaged in their bowling clubs and their churches, their synagogues, their religious mm-hmm. life, their social community life. There used to be a rich community
right.
life. Not as much as it used to be. We're so fascinated with our big screen TVs and our gadgets, and we're all looking at our smartphones. My challenge to everybody is read a book, talk to a neighbor, get involved. Don't leave it to somebody else. And so you can get as a subject expert, go into the local schools and say, hey, I am this. This is my profession or avocation. And I like to come in and talk to the kids, whatever age appropriate that is, about what I do and why it's important, and maybe spark a little interest. I recently had an opportunity to work with a group of kids on public speaking, of all things.
Nice.
Figure it out.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. And they were 9 to 13-year-olds in a program for aerospace here in Colorado. There's like 80,000 jobs, aerospace jobs here in Colorado. And I believe the person who I was talking to, who runs the program, the one that I went to, said that probably 60,000 of those jobs are filled by people outside the state. So there's an attempt to try to get more local people interested in aerospace. Mm-hmm. And it runs the gamut of engineering and welding and rocket scientists. These young people needed an opportunity to learn how to do some public speaking on a book report they had to do on the Wright brothers.
Okay.
And most of these young kids would get up and, you know, feel nauseous and almost want to vomit because they were so nervous about public speaking. And I did a presentation.
You've seen that before in Liberty Toastmasters.
I have seen that with adults as well. We all have that if we're not prepared. If we're prepared, we can go in and give a great presentation, or at least get up there and speak mm-hmm. without being freaking out. Subject experts on their career or avocation coming into schools helps instructors. I do a thing called Liberty Day. Jimmy Sandberger had a program here in Colorado. And we would take the kids, and we still did up until COVID, down to the Capitol. They get to see government. We'd walk over to the Supreme Court. They get to see the justice. They get to see the executive branch there at the Capitol. I would come in or bring an elected official in, and we would talk about the Constitution, both the federal and the state. What was the difference? Why is it important? What are taxes? Where do taxes come from? And so the kids got a little different perspective from somebody outside who had some experience. And so parents, teachers, community members can do this if they come to the schools, private or even homeschoolers are looking for opportunities, and get involved. You get to see what happens. More importantly, show up at a school board meeting and just observe, write notes, ask questions, not accusatory, but saying, hey, I don't understand. You guys just did this action. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a community member. I'm really interested in learning.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those folks or the staff will be happy to talk to you and give you information that you might need. And there's a lot online. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to stay engaged and figure out what the heck is going on.
Brad, one other question, because you have been super involved in all of this. What I have seen is there is, I think, I'm no longer going to call them elected officials. They're elected representatives. And I'm working on that word to try to remember that. But there seems to almost be, from those that are leftists, I'm going to say, that are in politics, and you can see them from school board all the way, you know, to governor and to president, that they almost are trying to overwhelm the people with all this information. How do you recommend that people get through all that information?
Well, one, observe. I think not enough people are watching what's going on. Then document it, and then hold their feet to the fire as to what people say, but more importantly, what they do. And why are they doing the certain actions? Who's behind it? What is the catalyst for it? And what are the results? And does it really help the student? You know, there's a book I just read by Rebecca Fredericks called Standing Up to Goliath. And this is an instructor, a teacher for 30 years in Southern California. There was a famous Supreme Court case with her. And one of the things that she did and observed was the unions at the time, and still today, I'm sure, have an active power struggle with the tripart of a teacher, a student, and a school. And if it doesn't advance the student through the teacher and with the administration working in partnership, you've got to question what is happening? Why is it happening? And is it a power struggle or is it more something nefarious? I don't know. But I think in every school district, people need to be there watching, seeing what's happening and being part of the process. If you're not at the table, something's going to happen. You're not going to get fed ideas and information.
But we're all paying for it.
We are paying for it.
And so even if you don't have kids in school, it's important to be watching what's going on. We've got a minute left. How do you want to button this up?
Well, I think it's important for all of us as an investment in the future in our community and our state and our country to be aware, to get involved to some degree, whatever level that you can. But don't just leave it to the experts or the bureaucrats or the administration.
Experts is air quotes.
Exactly. This is our country, and we can have a opportunity to shape it, but we have to be engaged, and we can't leave it to somebody else. It's too important.
And I think people are somnambulant no more. People are waking up, and we each have to do our duty. So it's always great to have you in studio, Brad Beck.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Alexander Hamilton. He said, "When a government betrays the people by amassing too much power and becoming tyrannical, the people have no choice but to exercise their original right of self-defense to fight the government." And when we say that, I think we mean in this battle of ideas.
Correct.
For sure. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.